it seems that the games people play out more when there's a crisis, whether it's Nancy Pelosi trying to make sure that Planned Parenthood gets funded, or we send money to the Kennedy Center, $25 million, because clearly that's the most important thing in the middle of a pandemic, or making sure that we get credits for wind and solar in the middle of a pandemic. Outrageous. But now it seems that Congressman Tom Massey, a Republican from Kentucky, isn't saying that he'll give his blessing to the $2 trillion stimulus package, meaning that members of Congress might have to fly back to D.C. In fact, many of them are. So there'll be enough votes to get this thing over the top. Joining me, Congressman Tim Walberg from Michigan's 7th Congressional District. He's here every week. Congressman, welcome back.
Good to be with you. And I'm here in Washington ready for the vote, and we'll be speaking on the bill this morning on the floor.
So, all right, so Massey's doing whatever he's doing. It's the Massey show, some people said on the side. Don't care about that. Let's talk about the things that matter, because it will get passed one way or the other. Tell me about the things in there that you like, and then we're going to get to the things that you don't like. But let's talk about the things you do like in this. It's the largest stimulus bill in the history of the United States of America at a critical time. What do you like?
Well, it truly is the largest, and had you asked me a year ago if I would ever vote for a $2 trillion spending plan, I wouldn't have responded to you. I just laughed at you. I couldn't envision doing something like that. But we've never had anything quite like this, when in fact it's not that individual business person in my district with a number of chain movie theaters who had to lay off 1,700 people a week and a half ago because the government told him to, not his bad business practices or a downturn in the economy. It's that small business person in the restaurant who had to shut their business down and probably will never open again, and their employees won't work there again. It wasn't their choice. It was the federal government. So we've had to look at a new paradigm, and there are some amazingly good things in there that give incentive to people to keep their employees on and give them bridge loans and SBA loans that will turn into grants if they actually do what they're supposed to do with that and keeping people employed and moving forward. It'll give opportunities for businesses to have loans more quickly than ever before to just get them through the next 4 months so we can rebound, because the economy will rebound, because we've done everything so far necessary to have a growing economy and a strong, robust economy. Will bounce back. So those are the good things that are in there. The dollars for our first responders and our healthcare professionals, getting PPEs out there, getting research done from NIH and from CDC, and passing that on to the next generation that has to deal with this. Hopefully not us, but being ready for things that we weren't ready for this time. All of that's good stuff. And for that reason, I believe in a good conscience and a constitutional mind, vote for this bill at this time, even though there is
right. I want to make sure that our constitutional, you know, our constitution is protected, because I don't want to see civil liberties destroyed. I do want to say one of the things about being prepared would include not having supply chains that lead back to China for everything that's so critical, including medications
right.
and so forth. In fact,
right.
The Food and Drug Administration just yesterday dropped all quality control and inspections on drugs coming in from China for the next several weeks. We were already having numerous problems with contaminants and impurities in drugs coming from China and India and elsewhere. It's time to make sure that our Made in America label goes on pharmaceuticals that are critical to sustain life, whether it's for diabetes or to fight a disease like this and all things in between. We cannot be in this position ever again.
Right, and I think this is really pointing out the fact of the president's wisdom and tenacity in saying during the campaign back in 2016 and now since then, we need to bring our businesses home. We need to build things here. We need to produce things here. And some of the things we've been sending over there because we thought it'd be cheaper, now we're finding out it isn't cheaper. It's costing us. In fact, it's cost us lives. I think he's been exonerated on that. And I think the American public will be more open to saying, well, when I go to my local box store and I'm looking for the cheapest thing, right now I'm looking for what's made in America.
Right. Cheap TVs are no trade for a pandemic. You're exactly right about that. And then when you looked at the biggest mask factory in the world is owned by 3M, but it's in China, and China came right in and took over the factory, is one easy example of what's wrong with manufacturing in China. The problem is when you do that and there's an emergency in that country, everything that you need gets cut off. We can't be there again. And then you've got China capitalizing now. A $600 million sale to China, from China to Spain in the last 24 hours, one example, but selling equipment to Spain, Italy, Japan, capitalizing on the virus that they lied about. As late as mid-January, the Chinese were telling the World Health Organization it's not contagious, and the World Health Organization was regurgitating that as if it were fact, when absolutely it was false. We need to hold these people accountable.
And all the while treating their own citizens as expendable commodities in China itself. And that's what hurts as well, to think about the good Chinese people who are being abused and literally annihilated because of a government that doesn't really care about them. And it's shown in how they handle the rest of the world situation, too. And this president stood up to Xi and said, we're going to be friends, but we're going to do it in a different way. I don't hold it against you for how you've handled this in the past, because our leaders didn't say anything about it. I'm saying about it.
Yeah.
Right now, you need
to here's my next question.
The world's changed.
Yeah, my next question is this. The scientist who predicted as many as 2.2 or more million Americans would die from this virus now saying, yeah, I was wrong about that. And half of Britain would get sick and possibly face death. He says now the disease will not exceed 20,000 in UK deaths, maybe significantly less. My question is, when do we pivot back and say, okay, we've got better numbers now. What's going on in New York is very difficult, but that's not happening everywhere. I mean, the governor of this state predicted 7 million Michigan residents would get sick and a million might need hospitalization. She said that on Monday of this week. Based on what numbers, I have no idea. I can find numbers that would support such an idea.
Yeah, I have no idea where that would come from either. We're 10 million population in our state, and 7 million are going to be
70% infection rate. Yeah.
That's impossible. We in America don't do it that way. We may lag behind at times, but we catch up. And listen to Dr. Burtz yesterday again talking about the modeling that is out there right now that some people, including some governors, are making their decision on, is just wrong. It's erroneous.
Correct.
And to hear good minds again start to push back and say, listen,
well, here's my question.
We don't deny that.
The question is this. Before we run out of time, you know, we could have 80,000 deaths in the next 4 months. That's the latest number. That's a 0.0002. And I don't dismiss those people that might die, but at what cost? 0.0002% of the population, 80,000 people. At what cost do we destroy the entire economy? We've got 30 seconds for the last word.
Well, that, again, is why the president is trying to open it up. And hopefully on Resurrection Sunday, we will have a country that is opened up for work again in a common-sense way, as he's saying. You know, we'll still have distancing. We'll still wash our hands. We'll still put the younger people back to the workforce. We'll do things right. We won't open it up in Detroit right away, but we can open it up in the Upper Peninsula. We can open up in northern Michigan. We can open up in the central part of the state where I live.
Sure.
To a great degree. Get people back to work, grow this economy, and that's what makes America great. And let's pray to God that he gives us wisdom to accomplish all of that.
Congressman Tim Walberg right here in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.